You're listening to Playing the Numbers Podcast, bringing you baseball numbers you don't know but need to know, and deep dives on teams and players around the league. Now, presenting your co-hosts, Avery Redd and Shane Mohan.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. A lot to go over this weekend. NL needs a DH. Giants continue to keep winning, and the Red Sox sweep the Yankees right out of New York. I'm Shane Mohan, joined with my co-host Avery Redd. Let's get into the numbers.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Another series recap.
Got a hell of a lot of series, including a disappointing, yet again, Nats-Philly series for myself. Shut up.
Let's go!
Shut up. You guys suck.
4-1 on your asses right now. 4-2 on that. We're up 4-2 on your ass.
Quick math.
You're still sitting at the bottom of the barrel.
Big maths.
We climb back up to 2, hopefully to sweep the Bravos and move it in a game of first place.
Dude, before we get into this different topic, did you see the freaking Logan Paul Floyd fight? I forgot to ask you about
that. I didn't watch it, but I saw there was this one YouTube channel that was live streaming it on YouTube, their reaction to it.
Yeah,
so the one guy was like freaking out because he put on his glasses and he's like, would I get sued if you guys can see the fight in the reflection of my glasses? But he said, fuck it anyway, and did it. And and they made it seem like it was a good fight leading up to the end, but they were doing a lot of hugging. And supposedly, this was like kind of new boxing rules, but if you didn't knock him out, there was no winner. Like, the only way to win was to get a knockout.
Yeah, that was stupid. That literally, because I didn't watch it either. I just watched like the highlights in the morning. And actually, I watched them at like 2 o'clock in the morning because I forgot it was on. And I was like, oh shit, it's probably over by now. But yeah,
I think that was a business move to make like to hype up a second fight.
Yeah, it's kind of boring because there's no winner. And I was just like, what's the point of fighting with no winner? Then it was just over. But I mean, I guess it's kind of cool to go for him to go 8 rounds with Floyd Mayweather. It's not easy.
Yeah, but yeah, Floyd's more of a defensive guy, though.
I know. And no matter how good he is, there's weight divisions in boxing for a reason. And
right,
Logan Paul is like 30 pounds heavier than him, probably like 4 or 5 inches taller. And yeah, there's weight divisions for a reason. So no matter how good he is, I mean, but it really didn't look like they were going. Like, obviously, it looked like they were going hard, but more Logan. Floyd didn't look like he was taking it as serious.
Yeah, well, I heard Floyd's mindset was to let it go as long as he could. And that's always been his goal and approach in fights, is to gas out the other guy.
Well, Jake Paul's fighting Tyron Woodley, or Tyron Woodley, however you say his name.
Yeah, that's Tyron, be good. Former, that's,
former isn't he like a 5-time champ or something?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, he fucking killed it in the welterweights.
I don't know a lot about UFC, but when he says 5-time champ, that means he won the belt and then he defended it four other times.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Or he lost it like vacant. They went there, they put the belt vacant, and then he earned his way to another title match and then won it back. So
I feel like that's why some people are getting frustrated that like Jake Paul's getting to fight this guy and Logan Paul's getting to fight Floyd Mayweather. Like, even though it's just an exhibition, but like, what the hell have these guys done to deserve to be able to fight such great proven fighters?
Because they've developed that fan base and the media hype to the point where they can sell a lot of fucking copies of the pay-per-view.
That is true.
Like, it's a fucking payday for anyone that signs the contract. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure Jake Paul versus Ben Askren was like a top 10 fight ever on pay-per-view. But we should probably get into the series break or the series recaps.
Yeah, enough with the fucking shit show, circus clown bullshit. Let's get into fucking
I kind of forget shit. I kind of forget who has NL and AL. What did we? Did you do? You did NL last week, I think.
Yeah, I think I did. Yeah.
All right. Well, I shall start it off. In the first series, interesting one. One that kind of comes back to bite me in the ass.
Told you, bro. The Reds are fucking for real.
They get the 4-0 sweep of St. Louis. And to be honest, that really just helped out the Cubbies and the Brewers a lot because I think they're tied for first and St. Louis is kind of falling down. I had never been too high on them. At the beginning of the year, I did predict them to win the Central, I think. I might have said the Brewers, but I know I wanted to say the Brewers, but I kind of like felt pressured to say the Cardinals because I felt like people would come at me.
Well, your final answer was the Brewers.
Okay, it was good.
I chose Cardinals, you chose Brewers. Good. Now that the season is underway, I got the Reds, bro.
What?
Look at this shit. I mean, I know it's one series, but dude, that's a big statement right there.
I just feel like if Luis Castillo, because he finally, I put that in the notes that he finally had a good start because he's been so bad. But if he can pitch like an ace again, I mean, I don't know. They do have a good lineup, maybe, but I just don't see it. They always choke.
They will. They might. They could definitely choke it, but I see them making it.
I don't know. I'd say St. Louis, Milwaukee, and the Cubbies are all much better built for contending down the stretch. And with guys like Castellanos and Winker, yeah, they're super hot right now, but they're so streaky. We saw this with Castellanos last year. Remember at the beginning of last year, or maybe it was 2019? No, I think it was the shortened season. And he started out like so hot and he was like the best player in baseball for the first few weeks. And then sucked the rest of the way. So these guys are super streaky. That's why I'm just not, the Reds aren't even over 500 yet, even with that sweep. They're not even at 500. They're 28 and 29.
Yeah, they're basically 500. I mean, another win gets them there. So they're climbing out of a hole is basically where they're at right now.
I know. I just don't. At the end of this month, if they're above 500, I will give them a lot more benefit of the doubt. But, yeah, anyway, Luis Castillo finally had a nice start. Six innings on – he only gave up one run. He's really struggled. And my boy John Gant got lit up a bit for four innings and gave up seven runs. But Jesse Winker, 8 for 18 with four dingers. Dude is killing it right now. When he's hot, he's hot. And Jonathan India, another hot bat for Cincy right now, 7 for 13 with two dingers, three RBIs, and two doubles. And Arenado and Goldie both had solid series, 7 for 16 for Nato, 5 for 13 for Goldie. And yeah, Cincy gets the 4-0 sweep, makes me look like a turd.
Damn right.
Moving on to another series that'll make me look like a turd. The Nats and Phils. Phils take it 2-1. Phils take it 2-1. Whatever. Whatever. It was a hell of a series, though. Game one was one of the best games I've ever seen. Two Warriors on the mound. Scherzer and Wheeler just dueling it out. Scherzer goes 7 2/3. 5 hits, 1 run, 9 Ks. Wheeler goes 7 1/3. 5 hits, 2 runs, 8 Ks. Just an absolute battle. And Soto got a pitch from Wheeler, and the Nats came out on top. So that was a fun game. Game two was pretty sloppy for us. Joe Ross wasn't bad. He didn't give up any runs. Well, he gave up four, but they were all unearned through six innings of work. Spencer Howard, I'm still pissed about that. Scared of Soto. Scared of him.
Dude, it's not that they're scared. They're just pitching him smart, bro.
Dude,
the goal was to win.
He was at like 45 pitches, 2 1/3, and he pulls him to a lefty in the third inning.
I totally agree with it being fucking stupid to even roll him out on the bump to start a game. I don't know what the reason was there to flip-flop him and Chase Anderson, because I know Chase Anderson hasn't been having a good year, but he's got the stamina to go five, six innings, seven innings.
If Spencer
Howard loses velo immediately.
Dude, if anybody else was up in that situation, he's staying in the game.
I don't know.
Dude, he's at 45 pitches or something like that, and he literally gave up one hit and two walks.
Okay, if Robles is up, yes, they're leaving him. But Soto comes up right after, yeah, you're going to pull him.
Bitching.
Call it what you want, bro. It worked out.
In game two, we get another bitch out by the Phils, hitting Austin Voth. He was through two no-hit innings. And then Vinny Velo decides to hit him in the face like a prick.
Yeah, I don't think it was intentional, dude. I don't think
I know. I'm just fucking around, but I'm just saying that game was crazy because I'm pretty sure the tarp behind home, or not the tarp, the netting, the protective netting behind home plate fell down during the game.
It did. Yeah, that was in the eighth inning. Yep.
Bunch of errors. That inning the Phillies had where they scored seven runs on like two hits was ridiculous. And it was a crazy game. Nats came out on the wrong side of it. But Phillies take it 2-1 again. Got to tip my damn cap.
You're going to tip the fuck out of your cap, dude.
Well, the Phillies are now 28-30 and the Nats dropped to 24-32. Few standouts. Kutch went 5-for-10 with a dinger, 4 ribbies. Real Muto, 4-for-10 with a dinger and 4 ribbies. Josh Bell, he's actually starting to swing it pretty well lately. He hit a homer off of Alvarado, which is nice to see him get one off a lefty. Soto, he had 3-for-12 with a dinger, 2 walks, 3 ribbies. It was a fun series to watch. Not a great outcome. We'll get your asses next time.
No, you won't. And if you do, it doesn't even fucking matter because you shitters are just trying to stay out of last place where we're actually making a push.
Fuck off. We're going to start making our push soon. And we couldn't do the Phillies-Nats series preview and recap this week. That will be back next series, but we've been very busy the last few days, and my dad's visiting me, and Shane was finishing high school, his last few things, so we were really busy and didn't really have time to record another two episodes on top of this one, so we'll get that out next time the Nats and Phillies meet up.
Damn right.
And everybody say congrats to my boy Theo for graduating. Give him a round of applause.
Thank you very much. It was a long time.
If you're not clapping right now, you are a brick.
It was a very stressful last week and a half, as I drug my fucking feet through the last 4 years of high school just to fucking barely make it. But
and he just makes it by the skin of his teeth.
Sorry.
It's all right. You don't need to have a college degree to be a podcaster.
Right.
That's why you boys need to help us get to the big time.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next up, kind of a boring series, Miami and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh actually helps the both of us out and takes 3 out of 4 from Miami.
That was big. That was big.
And this series is going to be the big key of what I talk about later, of what we mentioned or what you mentioned in the title of DH in the NL. Because Elizer Hernandez, he was going 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 6 strikeouts. He was going great, pitching a hell of a game. And he's running the bases, and he crosses the plate. And I don't know exactly what happened, but, like, something in his thigh or his quad or something did not look good. And I'll talk about it later after we're done this, but the NL needs a DH. It's ridiculous.
No questions asked. It's fucking bullshit and it's unfair.
Yep. Now, Pittsburgh takes the first 3 games.
Wait, hold on. You can't give me a valid reason on why the AL gets it over the NL.
I know.
There's
like,
no superiority going over there. There's not. It's not like they have better players or
they have
something the NL doesn't have. It's literally fucking unfair and that's it.
It's kind of –
I've always found that kind of cool, like the National League strategy of like double switches and platooning players and having to work your bench and stuff like that. I've always thought it was a cool strategy. But you have to have it, like, whatever way you're going to do it both. Either give nobody a DH or give them both the DH. And obviously, they're not going to take the DH away from the AL, so give the NL the DH. And
think about this, though. With the DH, what use is the bench?
Exactly. I mean, besides pinch running, maybe pinch hitting in some situations if you want a different matchup. But
right.
And injuries, of course. But it really becomes kind of obsolete once you have the DH. And, I mean, I guess defensive replacements at the end. I mean, it can still be used, but I don't know. The main thing for me is it's just the safety of pitchers having the hit. And we just saw – and another example, actually, I can't believe I didn't even say, was Austin Voth. I mean,
right.
He's got a broken nose now. I mean, not that that's a huge deal. I mean, it's just a broken nose. I'm sure he'll be fine, but – he's got to stay behind in Philly, and he's not leaving with the team, and he's getting x-rayed and stuff, I guess. So, yeah, it's just – it's unnecessary for pitchers to be in the box. They already got enough to deal with going out on the mound. So, I don't see why they have to be in the batter's box. And it's just annoying because how many strikeouts do you think a National League pitcher gets on opposing pitchers a year?
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Like it's got, if, padded from pitchers. If you think about it, they get a starter, if you are healthy, get about 30 starts a year. And if you're, I mean, what, two, at say an average of two guys a start, you'll face a pitcher twice in a start. That's 60 strikeouts right there. If you strike them out every time, it's 60 Ks. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost – I mean, what's like an average number of strikeouts in a year? 300, 400?
Average amount of strikeouts a year?
Yeah, for a pitcher.
Did you just say 400?
Nah, like 300.
Not even. I mean, even like 300 is like a – that's like – when if you hit 300, that's like a huge feat. I'd say like average –
like 250?
Yeah, around there. Well, I don't know. It depends. Like, are you talking about average for guys like Max Scherzer, Garrett Cole, Jacob deGrom, like Chris Sale, like guys?
No,
like
I'd say
as the NL in whole, I'd probably say somewhere around like 160. Because I mean, there's a lot of guys that are striking out like 90 and 100 and 110 that are weighing it down.
Right, right. Yeah, so, I mean, you're that if that's 60 Ks right there, you're looking at about a third, third to a quarter of your strikeouts are free strikeouts almost.
Yeah, it's – yeah, just the DH needs it to happen.
And maybe a little less because of ground outs, pitchers ground out, pop-ups, whatnot, but – a decent fraction of NL strikeouts are from pitchers. So when you put that in play, you know, the DH, it all comes back to the DH. It needs to be put in. And you were predicting next year, maybe next 2 years. I'm thinking, I mean, shit, if they haven't had it now, why would they add it in anytime soon?
I think it's coming soon. I've heard – there's been stuff talking about it. I think it's coming in next year, probably. But, yeah, back to the series recaps. Pittsburgh takes it 3-1. Key Brian Hayes coming back from injury strong. 7-for-18 with a double, a triple, a homer, 3 ribbies. Dude's awesome. And, yeah, we went over the whole DH thing now. So, that's my thought, at least. I don't know if you got anything else on it.
No, I think we did good on that, covered what we needed to.
Another sweep. for 10 with 2 home, 3 ribbies, 2 walks for Milwaukee. I kind of like the Brew Crew when they're healthy. They got, I mean, that pitching staff is Woodruff, Burns, Peralta, Brett Anderson. I mean, he's not great, but nice innings eater. If they can pick up another bat at the deadline, they're going to be scary. I don't know. I think they could be a player for Trevor Story, which would be really interesting. Yeah, but this pitching staff has been crazy, and I really think – oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. I was going to say this – I think – what do you think about the Brewers possibly making a stab at Trevor Story at the deadline?
I think that it's likely that Trevor Story starts to heat up. We know he's capable of it. He's shown us that he's one of the best all-around shortstops in the league, and I think – if you've got some teams like, I don't know, who needs a shortstop right now that could make a push?
Brewers. They got Javi Baez.
They got Javi Baez. I mean, you could slide him to second. But.
Yeah. The Brewers, like maybe the Yankees. I don't know. Depends what they want to do with Glaber. Maybe he would be part of the deal. I don't know.
Right. Cardinals got Edmund. Right,
he plays all over though, yeah. Or no, they got DeJong.
DeJong, yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Probably play third. Oh, they got Nutto. That would be funny. Can you imagine if the Cardinals got Story and Nutto back on the left side?
That'd be insane.
That'd be hilarious. Well, I don't know. I could definitely see Story winding up in Milwaukee though. Him and Yelich in the same lineup would be scary.
Well, you know, the Rays, with Adames being gone.
Yeah, but did they really want to lock up a shortstop long-term? Well, I mean, I guess they could just use him for this half season, but because they got Franco and Taylor Walls and Vidal Brujan. I mean, they got a lot of middle infielders.
Right, right. The White Sox could use a shortstop.
Tim Anderson.
Again, another guy that you could move to second or third.
Yeah, but then they got Moncada, and they got Madrigal and Jose Abreu. I mean,
yeah, I guess when you go over the teams that are making a push, there's really no fit.
Yeah, because they're all good because they're making a push, so they obviously don't really have many holes. You know who I could sadly see getting in on it? Maybe
the Phils.
Honestly, yeah, but maybe I was going to say the Braves, maybe Dansby Swanson's a part of the deal.
I feel like he's – I don't know. I don't feel like I look at him as a long-term – yeah, that could work. Long, I don't see him as a long-time franchise player for them.
Yeah, and maybe he could thrive.
No, I'm saying like in favor of what you're saying. Like I don't see him as a long-time player for the Braves.
Who? Dansby or yeah, oh, okay, Dansby. Yeah, me neither. And I think he's a guy that could thrive in a struggling Colorado team,
right? And Chisholm is a second, oh, yeah, but you got Miguel Rojas at short, so that wouldn't even work. Brewers have who's
Adames?
Adames, oh, right, that's who you got traded to, yeah. Yeah, I think honestly. If Didi keeps getting hurt and he's not putting up crazy numbers for us, I could see Story definitely getting the sign with us if we're like within 5 games by August.
Yeah,
the deadline's in July.
I can see them making a push. I don't know who they'd trade. I'd imagine if they wanted to, the talks would have to include before they even started one of Bryson Stott, Spencer Howard, or Medina, one of those.
Right, right.
Because usually my dad was explaining this to me. He was saying, like, most of the times with trades, a GM will go up to a GM, not go up or, like, whatever, wherever, over the phone or something, and they will give the other GM a list of prospects, and they'll be, like, 3 prospects in tier A. So say this is the Rays. That would be like Wander Franco and blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
And then they would have like seven prospects in list B and then 10 prospects in list C. So say they want Trevor Story. So they're going to say, all right,
you can get one from A, two from B.
Yeah, you can get, yep, you can get one player from A, two from B, and three from C. So I feel like with that being said, it's kind of like, I don't even know where I was going with that, but it's kind of interesting, honestly, how they do
that.
Yeah,
no, I could, see that. I would love being in favor of teams with good farm systems, like the Phils. I don't think their farm system's insane, but they've got a few pieces in there that are trade bait for sure.
Yeah. Well, my dream would be to like just literally follow a GM around all day, like during the winter meetings in the off season, and just see what he does. That'd be awesome. Just like see the vaccines, what happens for trades and free agents signing.
That would be pretty neat.
But let's keep going because we're kind of dragging our feet on the series recaps. We got a great series here. Cubbies and Giants in San Fran. San Fran takes it 3-1. We had some good pitching in here. DeSclafani, 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 Ks in game one. Game three, Gausman out with another great start. 7 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 10 Ks. Dude's been pitching like a stud. And sadly, Scott Kazmir was DFA'd by the Giants. He was making a comeback. I think first time he pitched in the big league since 2016. So hopefully somebody picks him up and gives him a chance. Patrick Wisdom, I have never heard of this guy, but he plays, he's like a third baseman for Chicago. This series, he went 4 for 11, 3 dingers, 2 doubles, 5 ribbies. And this year he's got 7 homers and 34 at bats. So maybe you should learn this guy's name. For some reason, I feel like he's going to suck and I'll never hear of him ever again, but maybe I'll
hear
of
him before. I might have been through the show. It might have been in a pinch hit appearance on TV, but I've definitely heard the name.
Yeah, I find that all the time that like I'll notice like guys' names from like drafting them as a common or a bronze in a BR draft on the show or something.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a way to stay in touch with the lower level guys.
Yeah. Well, San Fran takes it 3-1. They're now 37-22. I'll be talking about them later because they've been fun. Dodgers and Bravos. I was hoping the Dodgers could take care of them, but the Braves take it 2-1. LA takes game one. Urias was very good. 5 innings, 1 run, 5 strikeouts. Ian Anderson got beat up a bit. And then game two, the Braves took them both. They took out Nate. They scored 5 runs on Kershaw in game two, scored 3 on Bauer in game three, kind of lit up that pitching staff a bit. Atlanta takes it 2-1, 28-29, and LA 34-25. Great record. Not really the powerhouse they were expected to be, but they have dealt with a lot of injury, to be fair.
They do have Bellinger back. I think he had a hit in the series.
Yeah, I believe he did as well. Well, he's not hitting that well this year, though. I think last time I checked, he's hitting like 190.
Yeah, he's a little rusty.
Yep, indeed. That was a 3-game set. Atlanta wins it 2-1. 4-game set right here between the Mets and the Pods. They split it 2-2. San Diego takes the first two. New York takes the last two. Game one, Tawan Walker versus Yu Darvish. San Diego beats him out 4-3. And game two, Blake Snell was lights out, 7 innings, 1 hit, 2 runs, 10 Ks. San Diego takes it 2-0.
He's back.
Yeah, he was struggling.
That was back.
Yeah, I'm glad. I always liked him, and he was struggling. So I'm glad to see a big start from him and shut the people up to say he can't go more than 5 innings.
Exactly.
And game three, the master is back. Jacob DeGrom, 7 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, 11 Ks, outduels Musgrove. Mets win it 4-0. And the Mets are backed by another great pitching performance from Stroman, who's been really good this year. 6 2/3, 2 runs, 7 Ks. And the Mets win it again to split the series at 2. Tatis, 4 for 14 with a dinger and 2 RBIs. He's something else. He just keeps hitting. And Lindor, he's starting to break out of his funk. 5-for-16 in the series with a homer, double. And Brian McCann, only two hits in the series, but both two-run homers. James McCann. Brian McCann. That's an old school.
The classic Bravo.
That's an old school name right there. I always like Brian McCann, though. But, yeah, James McCann, only two hits. Both of them homers. And Jacob deGrom now has a 0.62 ERA through 58 innings. And one thing I wanted to ask you about, did you hear how apparently deGrom was asked, because he pitched seven innings, and he was asked, do you want to go back out for the eighth? And he said, no, I'm tired.
I did not hear that.
What are your thoughts on that?
I'm surprised that he did that because he was throwing a shutout. They got three of their runs off of Musgrove, so it wasn't like they were clearly in the clear for a win. So I'm thinking either he just trusted his offense to get him out, finish the game out, or he's trying to preserve his arm.
I don't know.
Because I know he had a minor injury a month or two ago.
I was shocked when I saw it. Everybody's calling him the quitter.
I don't know if you could say that.
I know.
Seven innings. How many pitches did he throw, too? That's another question you have to ask.
That's a good question. Let me look.
If he was over 80 pitches, 90 pitches, then I'd be like, yeah, dude, call it. Hand it over to the pen. But I'm guessing since he threw a shutout, he probably
only 85. Only 85 pitches. I think one more definitely would have been feasible. But I mean, it's his arm. He knows his body. Maybe he just was done. And if he would have went another one, it could have screwed him up. So, I mean, in all reality, they got the win. I don't know why people are talking about it as much. So they got the win. It doesn't really matter if he stayed in or not. So,
nonetheless, another great, great pitching performance from.
Hell yeah. D-Goat. And yeah, they split it. Mets still top of the East. Padres right behind the Giants in first. And that is the end of the road for me. We're on to the AL.
All right. So let's start this off with Tigers playing over at Chicago. Not much of a surprise. Chicago takes the series 3-1. We had a 4-game set here. Chicago took the first two, and they took game four with a shutout. We had Casey Mize versus Lance Lynn in game one, and Lance Lynn was able to outduel Casey Mize. They both threw pretty nice games, though. Mize got touched up a little bit, giving up three. Both had 6 Ks. Lance Lynn only gave up one versus Mize's 3, like I said.
It's fun to see Mize actually like coming in here and seeing him on our notes every week throwing like 7 or 6 innings. And it's cool. I just find it cool when like, because I saw Mize get drafted number one. I remember when he got drafted by Detroit. And once you actually see those guys start coming up and performing well, it's fun to see.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Game two, we had a Chicago win. This was a closer one. This was 9-8, so it was a bit of a shootout. Turnbull coming back through another shutout, only through 4. That's actually not a shutout, just scoreless through 4. Versus Keuchel, who went 6, giving up 1. But I think this was more of a bullpen blowing, so to say.
Yeah, it's weird because in such a shootout, 9-8, starters only gave up 1 run combined. Kind of weird.
Yeah, so this was more of a bullpen blowing. So that kind of goes to show you, I know the White Sox are absolutely going to be contenders this year. Maybe, you know, I guess Liam Hendricks is really their only arm, like big name in the pen right now. You know, maybe they go after a couple relievers late in right around the deadline.
They do have, the only reason I know is in this show, but they do have Aaron Bummer. I don't know if he's doing well this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. I don't know how he's doing, but I remember he's always my go-to lefty in BR.
Right, right. And game three, we had a Detroit win 4-3, another close one. We had Skuball versus Giolito. Skuball went 5, Giolito went 7. Both gave up 5 combined, Giolito giving up 4 to Skuball's 1. Skuball had 11 Ks, though, so definitely was feeling himself on the mound that day. Giolito had 9 strikeouts, walked nobody through 7, and Detroit came out on top 4-3. Game 4, we had a Chicago shutout 3-0. Dylan Cease went 7 innings, giving up 0, and had 10 Ks. Real nice job for him. Pitcher of the week candidate for sure. And Arena went 5, giving up 3 with 1 K. Grandal had 3 homers in the series. Real nice. In a 4-game set, 4 homers, was 4-for-12. All 3 of his homers were solo shots. Drew 3 walks to his name as well. Nick Madrigal was 6-for-11 with another homer. I think he hit his first of his career this year, so I think this might be his second.
Yeah, I believe it is his second ever.
So that's pretty cool to see. Muscling some up. Had a double as well with 2 ribbies and a walk. And that concludes the first American League Series. Tigers, White Sox. White Sox come out 3-1. Moving over to Astros playing at Toronto. Well, not Toronto, down in Florida, but we know.
Wait, they might. I think they're back in Buffalo now.
Are they?
I think. I'm not 100%. Let me look where they're playing this week.
All right, I'll start to read some of these off. All right, you got it right there.
They're actually in Chicago this week, so I don't know. But I could have swore I saw it. It said they were at Buffalo. So I think they're back there.
Well, that'll be something to look for this week. Anyways, game 1, Houston comes out on top with a big blowout, 13-1. Greinke, 9 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run on 3 Ks. Still dealing. I think he's, 35? 34?
He might be like 36 or 37 now.
He's up there for sure. He outdueled Ryu, going 5 2/3, giving up 7 hits on 6 runs. Lit the fuck up. And game 2, we had the Toronto win 6-2. Ross Stripling came out on top, throwing 5, giving up 1 with 4 Ks on 7 hits versus Jose Urquidy's 4 1/3, giving up 6 with 9 hits. Got lit the fuck up like Ryu. Right, a game 3, Houston wins 6-3, gave them the series W. Luis Garcia, former Philly, went 6, giving up 1 with 8 Ks. Of course, he's tearing it up.
Hey, that guy's a former Philly?
Yeah.
I think you're mixed up, because I thought the same thing. Maybe you're right, but I think you're mixed up, because I know they had a reliever named Luis Garcia. And they kind of look alike, but I don't think they're the same guys.
Let's see.
About to look it up. Yeah, he never played for the Phils. That's not the same guy. But
yeah, it's a different Luis Garcia. I was thinking that too for a second. I'm like, wait, the guy.
But I know
Luis Garcia I'm thinking of was a reliever. Maybe
yeah, I know where you're coming from. But I thought the same thing, because they kind of look similar. But I think I remember something about that guy that pitched for the Phillies, Luis Garcia. I think he was like a bread maker. And he owned like a bread shop, and like somehow he wound up in the major leagues. I don't know how, but
well, he fucking sucked for the Phils. So
go back to making bread, asshole.
Exactly. some serious standouts. Elias Diaz did not play game 3, but he did go 3-for-7 with a homer in the first 2 games. Jose Altuve, little guy, 5-for-13 with a homer and 3 ribbies.
Little guy. Fucking pipsqueak.
And not much series standouts for Toronto. Vladdy hit another bomb. Teoscar was 4-for-10 with a ribby. And that concludes Houston versus Toronto. Toronto came out on top 2-1. Hopping over to Rays playing at the Rangers. Game 1, we had a Texas win 5-4. Kyle Gibson came out on top, throwing scoreless through five and a third with five Ks. We had a game two, Tampa Bay shutout. Rich Hill went five, giving up none, handed it over the pen, and they got the job done, throwing four scoreless. And we had a Tampa Bay win in game three, 7-1, with Michael Wacha throwing two and two thirds, only giving up one. That was his opener for the year. Not really much to evaluate on there, considering he didn't even make it through three, but nonetheless, he got the win. So good for him. Austin Meadows, 4-for-13, having a really, really nice year. I think could be an all-star candidate if the Rays fans actually care a little more about baseball. I know Florida.
Dude, I'm telling you, these fans down here, there's more than I thought, and I'm about to find out when I go to the Trop tomorrow. Anybody that's going to the Trop tomorrow, Nats in town. It's at 7:05, I believe. DM me. Let me know if you're going to be at the game and watch Soto hit a dinger.
It's likely. It's likely.
And I don't know against Glass now, but I'm pretty hyped to watch him pitch.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for sure. Just to wrap up, Rays Rangers, Willie Calhoun was 4-for-8 with an RBI and two walks. Now we jump over to Twins at KC, had a split 2-2 on a four-game set. KC took game one 6-5 with a Chris Bubik four and a third outing.
Bubik.
Giving up four. Yeah, that's funny. With six Ks and got the W. KC came out on top in game two, winning 14-5 with a Brad Keller five-inning, seven-hit, two earned run, five strikeout outing. Oof, I'm botching this here.
And he botches it.
Yes, he does. Game three, we had a Twins win 5-4. This one was a little closer. Jose Berrios got the win here, throwing six, giving up four. And game four, we had a Minnesota win 2-1. Not a lot of offense in that game. Bailey Ober threw four, giving up one with four Ks. And some series standouts. Donaldson was 5-for-12 with a double. I want to say his name is Nick Gordon.
Yeah, Nick Gordon. Yeah. Brother of Nick. D. Strange.
Ah, he was 6-for-12 with a homer in the series. And Whit Merrifield, kind of underrated. Has been solid for the last three, 4 years, leading the KC team in basically all stats.
Salvi, he's been playing well.
Right. Salvi too. He was 6-for-15 with a double, a triple, and a homer with six RBIs. So well done,
now, Whit Merrifield. Please move on to my favorite series of the week. For some reason, this just makes me happy. I don't know why. And usually,
this was a fun one. I caught game three last night. Yeah, this was a good one for sure. I caught game three last night. Marwin Gonzalez tied it up in the, I think it was a seventh or the eighth with a two-run blast. And I'm going to jump into this right now, break it down for you guys. We had a Boston sweep, as we know.
Swept them out of their own town. Yep, in the Bronx. That's the crazy part to me.
Move on to 36-23. Yankees are getting closer and closer to 500 at 31-29. Game one, Boston won 5-2. Eovaldi went six innings, only giving up one with seven Ks. Real nice for him. Game two, we had another Boston win 7-3, as we know. Erod, 5 1/3, giving up three with seven Ks. Thought it was going to go either way there with Talion. Having a very, very similar stat line. Could have went either way, like I said. But Boston comes out on top 7-3. They get those late runs after Talion came out. Game three, we had an extra innings here after the Marwin Gonzalez game tying two-run homer. Domingo Germán against Garrett Richards. Richards came out on top when it was all said and done. Both, again, another very similar stat line for the starters. And in the 10th, Boston was able to overcome them with the 6-5 victory.
Crazy stuff.
Yes. Frickin' we had a Boston, Rafael Devers
I did not expect that. I did not expect a sweep there, especially in New York, but you got to tip your cap to that.
Going into it, I didn't expect it, but when it's all said and done, I'm not surprised one bit because
I just can't believe Boston's playing so well with their pitching staff, but they've been solid. They've been keeping them in the games. They haven't been great, but they've been keeping them in games enough that their offense can score enough runs.
Well put.
I put down in the notes, I think I saw this. I'm pretty sure I saw it on John Boy somewhere. Michael King threw an immaculate nine pitches, nine strikes in game one. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool. Very cool. And he was the Yankee starter in game one. So that wraps up probably series of the weekend for sure. Again, Boston got the sweep 3-0, swept the Yankees right out of their fucking hometown. Love to see it. And that will conclude that series. We now go over to Seattle playing at Los Angeles. We had a split 2-2 here in a four-game set. Game one, Seattle came out on top 6-2. Justus Sheffield threw 5 2/3 with 7 Ks, giving up 2. Game two, we had an Angels win. Otani took the bump in game two, going six. Yeah, going six, giving up 2 with 10 Ks.
And no walks. No walks, which is huge because he was really struggling with walks, and he's really taking care of that.
Yeah, he's really getting his control down now. Love to see it. Angels come out on top in game two, 3-2. Game three, we had another Angels win, 12-5. A lot of offense from the Angels here in this game. Alex Cobb went 7 innings, giving up 5 with 6 Ks. Out-dueled Kikuchi.
Game four. Alex Cobb is a guy that people overlook, and he's a lot better than his regular stats show because you see that 4.24 ERA, but I'm looking at that 3.05 Sierra. That's really good.
Yeah, he's definitely an overlooked pitcher for sure. Now, would you put him or Bundy at number one in this rotation?
Probably him right now. Even over, I'd probably go him, Otani. Bundy's been kind of bad.
Right. Yeah, I guess, yeah, you definitely go Otani number one right now.
I'd probably go Cobb over Otani, though.
Really?
If you look at the stats, I mean, Cobb's been better.
Note. And game four, we had a Seattle win 9-5. Gilbert went 5 innings, giving up 2 with 7 Ks versus Sandoval's 10 Ks, who went 6 innings. So he definitely
came out of nowhere.
But unfortunately, we had a split here 2-2. I guess it's not unfortunate. I mean, I just think splits are kind of weak, but
yeah.
Anyways, we get a split there. Now we jump over to Indians playing at Baltimore. Baltimore falls to 21-38 after this series. Indians are now 31-26, but we did get a Baltimore series win here. They won 2-1 in the series. Game one, Baltimore takes the big blowout 11-2. Keegan Atkin went 5 innings, giving up 0 runs with 4 Ks. Cleveland takes game two, 5-1. Aaron Civale went 6 innings, giving up 4 with 4 Ks. Came out on top versus John Means, who couldn't even make it out of the first inning.
He actually got injured.
Right, right. Do you know what the injury was?
Shoulder strain.
Damn.
Yeah, it sucks.
Well, I've been hearing that he makes it the most obvious that he's got some type of substance he's using.
Yeah, that's it. I've seen videos of him. It's very obvious.
But
to be honest, everybody makes it obvious. So there was even a video of DeGrom doing it the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully he can get a speedy recovery. I'd like to see him in the All-Star game, to be honest.
Well, I don't know who else. Maybe Cedric Mullins. I mean, he keeps it up. He has a shot, but yeah, he looks like the guy that could go for Baltimore.
Yeah. Game three, we had a Baltimore win 2-1. Jorge Lopez went 5 innings, giving up 3 with 2 Ks.
Oh, wait. And- I, My bad. I think I forgot to change the score on that game because I'm almost sure Baltimore won like 18-5 in game.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they killed them in game three, so that's a typo. That was probably from last week.
Well, there you have it. Baltimore scores 33 runs. Actually, it would be 34 runs in the series if the numbers are accurate.
I believe so. Well, no, Cleveland scored the five, so they would be at
Oh, right, 30.
30, yeah.
30 runs in the series for Baltimore.
Crazy.
Versus a decent Indians team.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're not bad. And then that wraps up the American League.
Yep.
And I'll take this last interleague series.
Go for it.
Oakland at Coors. Oakland takes it 2-1. Frankie Montas, not bad in game one. I know you're a fan of him. 5 innings, 3 runs. Oakland takes the game 9-5. They take game two as well. Cole Irvin, ex-Philly, 6 innings, 1 run, 5 strikeouts. Gets Oakland the 6-3 dub. And Colorado squeaks one out, salvages the series. Herman Marquez, they're a 6 innings, 1 run, 6 Ks. Oakland takes it. I believe they're still ahead of Houston in the AL West, 35-26 now. And that will wrap up all the series recaps, folks. And I'm going to break right into my power rankings then. You ready?
Yep.
All right. For mine, I'm going Rays. Still got them at number one. Got the Red Sox at 2 after that sweep. Got the Giants, Padres, Dodgers, White Sox, A's, Brewers, Cubs, Strohs.
I like it. There's just a couple things I'd change there. Mine were Rays, Red Sox, Giants, Dodgers, Padres, A's, Brewers, White Sox, Astros, Cubs.
All right. Not too much changing. I'm fine with that. And I believe we also had the same pitching performance because it was pretty obvious. Unless you changed it, Zach Greinke.
No, I think it was pretty clear cut there. There was another candidate I had in forget who it was.
Well, one main reason I picked Greinke is because he went 9 innings and he did it against a strong lineup. And the Jays, so.
Yeah, I had Casey Mize as another one, as well as Giolito. They were both candidates for me. But, yeah, right. I think when it's all said and done, you got to give it to Greinke for this weekend.
Yeah.
Going the distance, man.
Agreed.
They only giving up 1 walk in 9? I mean, shit.
Yeah, he's a warrior. He always has been. And, man, what else do we got to talk about here? I mean, most of the things DH. I had – yeah, but, I mean, we pretty much covered that. I said all I wanted to say about that. I did want to talk about this real quick. I'll go over that in a minute. DeGrom, we talked about DeGrom asking out. But, this guy, Frank Mazzucato, I don't know how you say his name, but he's a high school prospect. You guys probably heard of him. He's a lefty. And he threw 4 no-hitters in a row, and his streak just ended. He gave up a base hit, but he was at 30 1/3 innings without giving up a hit.
That's insanity right there.
I know. So hats off to that guy. I don't know what school. I think it's like a Catholic school or something. I'm not sure what it's called, though. But crazy stuff. Frank Mazzucato.
Look out for him.
Hell yeah. And then, the Brewers and Cubs, we talked about them kind of leaving the Cardinals behind for now.
And Giants are in first place.
Yeah, dude, it's June 7th. I mean, June 1st, I said, is when I always start assessing the teams. And it's June 7th, and the Giants have a 2-game lead. So I got to stop sleeping on them. I mean, maybe they're for real.
I think everybody was sleeping on them going into the season.
I mean, right now, I'm still sleeping on them, and they're 15 games over 500. I mean, I got to wake up and realize they might really be contenders.
I'm done sleeping on them. I'll tell you that. I mean, I know.
Well, you know
this is the point where you start to assess teams, but I mean, they're making a clear statement, man, especially Buster Posey.
Yeah, especially him and their pitching staff. Well, you know what I'm excited about? After the Rays, we play them for a two-game set. The Giants come to D.C. for a four-game set. So I'm going to get a really good look. And, yeah, it sucks we're playing a really good team. But I am enjoying playing good teams because I just get to watch some of the better teams because usually I'm not going to sit down. Like, if the Giants aren't playing the Nats, I'm not going to sit down and watch a whole game. But when they're playing the Nats, I get to watch the whole game and check out their pitchers and check out their hitters. And I like doing that when better clubs come in town and we go see them. So it's exciting to see that. I'm kind of hoping we miss Gausman, but I wouldn't mind watching him pitch.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, but
pretty interesting. I might actually have to tune into that, flip back between that and the Bills as we're playing the Bravos.
Yep. Bravo. Got
Nola on the bump tomorrow.
We got we got Western Glasnow. That's the game I'm going to with my pops. And yeah, I mean, if you don't have anything else, I do have a few upcoming series to look forward to for next week, but
yeah, I'm hoping the Braves and Phils are on that list. That's gonna be a very good series.
It will be. Well, all right, fine. I will put them on. I didn't have them because the Phils stink, but I'll throw them on there for shits and giggles.
This guy can't swallow his pride for
five. I'm kidding, asshole.
Say it right now on the pod that the Phils are for fucking real right now.
I would rather die than say it.
Say they're better than the Nats.
I would literally rather put a nail in my ear and twist it around before I said that.
Well, I'll put the fucking nail in your ear and say it for you.
We'll do it from over the computer. Get out of here, virtual tough guy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
Down there and do it.
Shut up. Let's get into the damn upcoming series. I have Phillies Braves. Everybody, go watch it. Hurry up. Cubs Pods. That's going to be a good one. And Red Sox Astros in Fenway. Blue Jays White Sox. That'll be a fun one. And Indians Cardinals, I guess, is all right. But nothing much. They're literally, you know, that every week they do like a YouTube game on YouTube they show live.
Yeah.
This week it's like the Dodgers and Pirates. I was like, why would you ever put the Pirates on that?
It's because people love the Dodgers. That's
why. I know, but the Pirates, come on. I guess people just want to watch them kill them. Watch the Pirates win. Watch the Pirates win. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a long episode. I'm pretty sure it feels long. You got anything else for us, my boy?
Nothing more. Another great weekend of baseball. We had the Mayweather fight as well last night. Normally those are Saturday nights. I'm not sure why they threw on a Sunday night, but nonetheless, this is a baseball podcast. Go out, enjoy the weather. We're at the hottest it's ever been right now. And we'll see you guys on Monday, or not Monday, Friday.
Yep, Friday. All right, well. Everybody, we are now graduates of high school. Give us our props and tip your caps. We made it.
Damn right.
We are putting full force into this podcast coming up soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We're really going to be ramping up content.
Oh, yeah.
So actually starting Friday, really, because today was my last schoolwork day. I graduate on Thursday. We do practice starting tomorrow and Wednesday. So we're really going to start ramping up the content. Might put out some new segments for you guys.
Yeah, we were thinking about maybe putting out another episode a week and maybe just talking about a certain topic. Like, we could do an episode and about DH in the NL, or we can do a whole we can just do a bunch of episodes about things that we've gone over in these episodes and just elaborate on the more for maybe like 20, 25 minutes and go into a deep convo about them or something. So
I love it.
Yeah, but I'm going to have go hang out with my pops and edit this up, post it for you guys, and I will see you on Friday then.
Take it easy, everybody. Thanks for joining in.
Thanks, guys.
And before you click off, check out our sponsored segment, Anchor.
Yep, just check it out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Anchor before you go and why it's the best way to make a podcast.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.